Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and we love you and we give you glory tonight. We thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your word, to worship you. We thank you for all things good. You have blessed us beyond our dreams. And we thank you that you're about to take us up higher in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. God is good. Praise God. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to go to Hebrews 11:1 and Mark 9:23. I want to say a couple of things to you right up front. I'm that person that comes up with an idea from the Holy Ghost, and we get it done. And so on Monday, I had three ideas that I got from the Lord, and by this afternoon, Danny had had them all worked out for me. Yay. And Deb helping, of course. And so I want to tell you what we're doing. We are starting a new Facebook channel, if you will, a new page. What? Group. It's a group. Come up here and help me. Because she knows. She knows the right lingo here. Right. And what we're doing, it is called?
Pursuing Truth.
Pursuing Truth. What we're going to do is, well, there's 12-minute teachings on this thing. And on the 12-minute teachings, we're going to teach people the basics. And
the foundational principles, the foundation of faith, the foundation of the Word of God. Today, Pastor posted one about studying the Word, talking about the Bible itself and you know, the books are in there, who it's written to, that kind of thing. And so we're going to start with these things that maybe we don't always have time to get to when we're in the service. You know, there's the foundational principles of how does faith really work? What are the basic or the foundational principles of healing, finances, those kind of things. And so the plan is to get a video posted, I believe, at least once a week, if not more than once a week, depending on the videos that are coming in. And so what you can do is, you want me to tell them how to join? Yes?
Yeah, hold on 1 second, though. Okay. So even stuff like this, okay, most of you are veterans, but understand that people come through the door that have sat in all kinds of places. And so we're even going to go over things like baptism. What really is communion? What's that really about? Come away from religious things and feed them right things. So what we're going to do is there'll be several people that we're going to call on here in the church to help teach that. It's not going to be just me and Danny. Pastor Deb's going to do one, and then some of you, Patty's doing one. Hector doesn't know it, but he's doing one. And so we'll be calling on some of you who teach. And we're going to put these things together so that tell about getting on it, though, how we're going to do that.
Sure. So the group is going to be a part of, so if you follow the Victory Church of Highland Lakes Facebook page, what you can do is under the groups, there will be a group called Pursuing Truth. Another way is you can just search Pursuing Truth Victory, and you'll see it come up. You'll see it says Pursuing Truth, and there's a couple little books on each side. That image is the one that you know it's the way. If you're having trouble finding the page, text me, and I'll invite you to the group, and then you can just go accept the invitation. And it'll have you, or I'll send you a link so you can go join the group. And that way, once you log in, it's going to ask you a couple of questions. One of them is, where do you go to church? And the second one is, what are you interested in learning? The reason for that is actually going to be open to more than just Victory Church, but we want to make sure it's Facebook. So we want to make sure of who's joining the group and who's going on there. So just so you know, if you see those questions, that is accurate. That is the page that you're leading to. And we just have some things on there so we know that we don't have, you know, spam on there or different things like that. So you can just go, like I said, search Pursuing Truth Victory, and it should come up, and you should see the page there. You can also go to the Victory Church Facebook page, and under groups, you should be able to see it there as well on a desktop. It's a little more difficult to see on the mobile, so that's why I say to search it. And if you can't figure either of those out, please reach out to me, and I'll get you connected.
Amen. Thank you. And so it's going to be exciting because then, you know, you bring new people and they're like, I have no idea what y'all are talking about because we're not exactly shallow water around here. I mean, we get into some things where people are like, what's that? And church, even Christianese, even the way we talk, a lot of people don't know what we're talking about. So we're going to hit some topics like that. We'll just cover some things and help people so they can say, you know, I don't understand this. And we can say, go here and take these lessons. And they're 12 minutes. So everybody has time for 12 minutes. So that's going to work. Also on Sunday, we're going to pass out a paper that we don't have right here. It's actually in my office. It's a prayer confession. That's okay. It's a prayer confession that we're going to get all of you to sign your name on the top. We're going to put them in a tub and we're going to have everyone draw someone's name. And you can take, we're going to pass those out and for a period of time, which we're praying about how long that period is, you get to pray for that person in the church. So you could just say, I'll make up something here, okay? Let's say that I pick Debbie Clark. Lord, thank you for Debbie Clark. Debbie Clark is the body of Christ. Satan has no power over her. She overcomes evil with good. Debbie is blessed. She's healed. Da-da. And it'll take you all of 45 seconds to pray the prayer for someone. But you know, when someone's praying for me, I can feel it. I can tell my life changes when someone prays for me. And this is also an opportunity for you to sow seed by praying for other people. Praise the Lord. So that's going to be a blessing. And drum roll, there's also something else. We're going to replace the Sunday offering word with a tithing giving confession from now until January. So we'll all be standing up and we're going to do like the Jews do. People are going to take turns coming up and leading you. We'll be calling on some of you to lead that confession. Now, you all know how I feel about offering words. There are churches who put the box in the back and they just let people tithe and give in those boxes. I don't believe in that. I believe that we need word on what we're doing. Yeah. When you're tithing, you're actually tithing your heart. You're tithing who you are. And so we need to speak word on that because word is what doesn't return void. It's what you do in the spirit. The finances, that's just in the natural, but it's your heart that matters. And so we're going to start leading you in that for the next 3 months, for the next quarter. So it's going to be fun. We'll be doing some new things. Okay, Hebrews 11:1. I want to say some things to you. I'm going to talk to you about your belief system. Okay? Church, my business, my job is to see that you win. To build you up, to edify you, but to see that you get somewhere in life. Mm-hmm. And so, year after year, we go over certain things every year. We add new things every year. We do whatever the Holy Ghost tells us to do, but what we want to do is be victors and not victims. Right. Why does that matter? Because if you're a victor, you're a good witness. True. Amen. Okay, and y'all know that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Tonight, we could talk a whole lot about this. Y'all know I can go on this scripture for about 90 minutes. But I just want to say one thing about this. Faith is the substance of things. It's just the only place I want to go. Faith is the substance of things. What do I mean by that? Well, faith is the substance in the spirit realm of what you want in the natural realm. For instance, healing. For instance, favor. For instance, a thing, something you want. House, car, bicycle, desk, whatever it is. Faith is the substance of that thing. Now, in Mark 9:23, Jesus said, this is what he said. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Notice believes there twice. If you can believe all things, not mental assent, truly believe. Not something you just have some basic knowledge of, but if you truly believe, all things are possible to you. So he gave us some promises and we become aware of those promises And that actually gives us hope. And when we have hope, then we call that earnest expectation. It's kind of like when you find out you could have something and you go, oh, that's available. That's hope. That's what hope is. It's the blueprint. Oh, we could build this. Oh, we can make this. That's what hope is. It's knowing that something is available. And so then faith brings that to you. It creates what that blueprint says, right? So we used to say in kids' church, hope is like a picture, faith is like a rope. Hope is the picture, faith pulls it in. Amen. So he gave us all these promises. And then what we do is we feed that hope with the promises until it does become faith, which is a spiritual substance, which when confessed will cause the natural thing to manifest. Just real simple. I am healed. You know that that's even above a promise. That's a fact that by the stripes of Jesus, we have been healed. The New Testament says we've already been healed in Peter. So it's a fact. So you keep confessing that and aligning with that. That's going to manifest in your body. If you confess, I have a something, I have a new some, whatever, I have a new purse, I have a new purse. Well, if God wants you to have stuff, you could be confessing that and the new purse is coming. Danny's going, yes, praise the Lord. Anyway, I'm just being real basic about it. But, now did you get that?
Yes.
Get that? Okay. I know you understand this, but I want you to eat it again. We call Christians believers. You know, are you a believer? But I can tell you this. There are unbelievers. There are unbelieving believers. And there are believing believers. Not all believers believe. They believe that Jesus died for them, that he rose from the dead. They believe that some people don't really know they need to believe that Jesus is Lord. I'll just put that in there too. Okay. So, we need to be believing believers. And the verse said all things are possible if you believe. So let me ask you this question. You might want to write this down and ask yourself this for the next week. What would you do if you couldn't fail? What would you be doing right now if you couldn't fail? If you knew you couldn't fail, what would you do? It's a good question, isn't it? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And that question tells us that our belief system is very important. It's important to you. It's important to God. So I want to look at these things and just talk about these with you for a few minutes here tonight. In Genesis 11, they built the Tower of Babel. Remember? Everybody know the Tower of Babel? So they're building something tall. You know, the flood was in the chapters right before. They're trying to get off the ground, right? And they're trying to build something. They want to stay in unity. God didn't expect everybody to be all stuffed into one city. Did y'all know that, country people? That's, he didn't. Check. Okay. So, okay, so they're building the Tower of Babel, and God doesn't like it, and he makes this comment about it. You remember what he said? He said, whatever they agree on, they'll be able to do. You remember that?
Yeah.
Right, okay. So they're building this thing. They believed. They got in one accord. They agreed. God said nothing will be restrained from them because they've taken their imaginations and they put them together. And when they put them together, everything worked for them. Well, now they were not doing the will of God, but the principle works. If you use your imagination for God's side, that's what you were given it for. You use your imagination for what God wants to do, and you get together and agree with someone, then good things are going to happen. Amen. And so, are we good? All right. How about that? Woo! I got the power! All right. So, they're getting together and they're making this thing work. Now, the tools they used worked. Agreement, imagination, they're believing something. Now, Babel means confused. God came down and went, I'm slapping this system. Church, the Babylonian system is capped. You're like, boy, we'll be glad when some of this stuff ends. Oh, it'll end. It's capped. I can tell you that right now. Humanism will not totally have its way while the Church of the Living God is on the earth. Okay. Now, so we can talk about that, but we can't tonight. Now, so God intended for us to use our imagination for His will. So we find God in three places. We find God's will in the garden, in Jesus, and in heaven. In all three of those places where we find God's will, we find out it's all good. Heaven's really good. Amen. Jesus is really good. The garden was really good. So we can see that God's will is good. And we know that there's a scripture in Deuteronomy that says that you can actually have heaven on earth. So all things are possible to him who believes. In Hebrews 3, we know that the writer of Hebrews was actually talking about the people of Israel, how they had hardened hearts. Their hearts were hardened. Why? What does that mean? They wouldn't believe. See, they come up there to that promised land, and God's saying, da-da-da-da, and Joshua and Caleb are going, yeah! And they're ready to go in. They see the fruit. They're looking at the fruit. We talked about that on Sunday. They're looking at the fruit. But these other people, they have hardened hearts. They won't use their imagination. All they can see is getting beat up by a giant. All they can see is, well, this is not going to work. Mm-hmm. All they say, well, this is too hard. We can't do this. That's the kind of attitude that was going on here. And God was not pleased with that. He gave them these promises. Can I tell you that God wants to give you the promises now? And he is not pleased if you don't go on into your promised land. The Bible says that without faith, you cannot please God. And so we have to have faith. We have to believe. We have to know that the promises of God are yes and amen. Hebrews 3:12 says, beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So God never intended for Israel or the church to sit around and hope something would happen. He wanted us to use our faith. He wanted us to be believing. He said, occupy till I come. Advance and hold, advance and hold, advance and hold. That's what he's about. Now, Joshua 18:3, Joshua said unto the children of Israel, how long are you slack to go to possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers hath given you? To slack means sluggish, idle, neglectful, easily influenced, inactive, easily changed. How long will you be slack? That's what he's saying. Well, let me just tell you, the way out of slack or slackness, whatever that word is, the way out of that is your belief system. Your belief system is what's going to pull you out of that, out of being slack. So possibilities for my life depends on my capacity to believe God. I have to get this capacity. I have to broaden it. I have to get it going. I have to have a great capacity for believing God. So possibilities are not based on exposure. They're not based on experience. They're not based on environment. What am I talking about? They're not based on race, gender, education, or abuse. They're not based on any of those things. They're not based on exposure, experience, and environment. They're not. It's all about believing God. When you believe God, you come up above those things. Yeah, you may be this and the world says you can't do this. You may have had this happen to you and the world says you won't do this. You may not be, have 10 letters after your title and your name and the world's trying to tell you you can't do it. God says you can.
That's right.
God says you can be a success at what He called you to do. You can be a success at your assignment. You can be a success in life. And so it's about believing God. So what will affect your belief system? What affects it? Or, no, that's not where I want to go. What will your belief system affect? That's where I want to go. I'll get to the other in a minute. What will your belief system affect? Well, it'll affect decisions under pressure. Think about it. If you believe certain things, you react differently when you're under pressure. Yes, you do. It will affect your boundaries and your comfort zone. It will affect your personal awareness system. You begin to hear things and you see things around you that you didn't know and see before when you begin to believe God. Oh, this is available. Oh, He does this for me. Oh, He said I can have this. He said I can do this. He said I could do all things through the Anointed One and His anointing. You begin to see things you didn't see before. You begin to change your belief system there. So how do I get my belief system going in the right direction? Well, if you look around today, you're going to notice that to make people believe, people use sight, sound, and repetition. Is that true? Sight, sound, and repetition. Look at every commercial. I try not to. But when you do watch them, did you notice the sound goes up at commercial time? It's so aggravating. Yeah. And then they use repetition. And then putting the little letters at the bottom, you know. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. So they're using that sight, sound, and repetition. Sight, sound, and repetition have made you believe some good things. And they've made you believe some bad things too. Amen. So here's the thing. You have what we would call a believing set point. Okay? A believing set point. And there are two things that can change that set point. Number one, for Christians we're talking about here, dreams and visions will change your set point. You remember Jacob's dream? Now, that changed his set point. I'm talking about Genesis 31. You can write that down and look it up if you want to. And then something else happened to Jacob in Genesis 30, 50-something, 57. He and Laban had been in a little sort of a business battle over the years. He wanted Rachel. Who's that sister to him, you know? He wanted Rachel. He got Leah after 7 years. He worked another 7 years to get Rachel. And then he continued to work for Uncle Laban, who happens to be his mother's relative, you know. Mm-hmm. And so Rebecca's relative. And so the scriptures say that Laban cheated him out of his pay 10 times. Remember that? And he was stuck with him. But then comes the day when they make this deal and he says, I'll tell you what, I'll take all the ringstrake and the speckled goats, whatever the livestock was. I think it's goats. And you can have the solid colored ones. Okay. So, and Laban's going, we never produced that other stuff. So Laban gets his stuff over here. And Jacob goes out and he tears off poplar trees and chestnut trees and he makes these little rods and he strips them so that there's different colors on all of them and he puts them in front of the watering trough where the animals come to drink and breed. And so he's looking at these, when he sees the animals, they look colored because he's seeing them on the other side. And they're seeing different colors. And what happens? They produce speckled and ringstrake. And Jacob gets rich. And Laban is really mad.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
But he went. So what happened? God gave him a picture.
Yeah.
There's your imagination again. So what, you know, people tell you, put a picture of yourself up on the fridge, one that you really like. You know, or put a picture of what you want up on your fridge. Our Terry Foy, she's always about a vision board. Yeah. Why? Because you need to use your imagination on what is good. What you want is so important. And so dreams and visions, what are they doing? They're giving you a picture. They're giving you a picture. And then he had this picture. So these are the things that will help you change your set point. And then there's one more. And that would be something we call meditation. Meditation. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You know, the word meditation scares some Christians. Right?
Yeah.
That's because they don't bother to find out what meditation really is. Okay. God gave Jacob the something to look at. Remember what? All the things I just told you. God gave Abraham what? Stars and sand so that he could be the father of a multitude. He was told, you'll have more than this, you'll have more. That's a lot. Amen. God gave you this written word, which when you read it becomes a picture in your heart. Okay? And so, church, don't try to believe. Don't try to get wet in the shower. Just get under the water. The way you will believe is if you put the word of God in your heart. If you put the word on the inside of you, it will actually bring itself to pass. That's how potent the word is. So you don't have to try these things. It'll work. It'll happen. So you believe because truth is going into you. Now, listen, meditation has nothing to do with emptying your mind and humming.
No.
Nothing. Has nothing to do with that. When you meditate the word, this is what you do. Number one, you mutter the word. Stop it. In other words, don't let it depart. Don't let it depart. You're thinking about it. It's under your breath. You take one or two verses and you say, so let's just take one. Everybody needs this. Praise God. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. Thank you, Lord. You said in your word that you'd supply my needs. You said you'd supply all my needs. You said you would supply all. See what I'm doing? Get the picture? And you think about that. You talk about that. And when something comes, no, God said he would supply all of my needs. Amen. So what you do is you make it personal. Lord, you're my God. And you came to give life more abundant. You're El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. So you are going to meet my needs. And you talk it. And you can walk down the road and talk about it. You can do it in the shower, wherever you think about it. You know, just take a couple of scriptures and, you know, the blessing of the Lord. Mm-hmm. The blessing of the Lord. I don't have to toil. I have the blessing of the Lord. Yeah. Or if you need protection, now we can go over and over, but you're muttering this. You're thinking about this. You're working on this. The second thing would be you speak aloud. You talk to yourself about the word. Yeah. Talk to yourself about the word. Talk to other people about the word. Hey, you know what the word says? The word said, da, 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 this is who I am. So you speak out loud the word. Psalm 77:12 says, I will meditate also of thy work and talk of thy doings. This is what the Lord said. Well, I don't know. I don't have any scriptures memorized. Read it. Put it on, read some onto your phone and carry your phone around and listen to your own voice say it.
Yeah.
I've done that a lot of times. But, you know, you'll find Deb and I play this game. Okay, I'll quote a scripture, then you quote a scripture, and let's go till we can't think anymore. It takes us a long time. We can think of a lot of scriptures. Thank God. It's our job. But it's your job. Amen. But, I mean, you just go right along. Yeah, the Bible says healing belongs to me. Total healing belongs to me. The Bible says my youth shall be renewed like the eagles. That's what, you know, those are my benefits. And you begin to think about it. My benefits, Lord, these are my benefits. I'm telling you, these are mine. They belong to me. And so you're speaking aloud. So you mutter God's word. And then number three is you muse. And that means to ponder. Take hold of a promise. Go over and over until you squeeze all the riches out of it. Allow it to wash through your inner man. The most vivid illustration of this is a cow chewing cud. Because that cow will chew and chew and get the stuff out of it. And she'll swallow it. And she'll bring it back up again. And she'll chew it some more. And chew it some more. And swallow it. She brings it back up again until it's digested. You just go look at it, and then you think about it some more. And then you think about it some more. The Jewish people wore something called a phylactery. They put the word right here in this little deal on their head. They tied it around their head because they wanted to keep the word in front of them all the time. What we do is heart and mouth. Heart and mouth. So all the time you can be quoting the word, all the time. Don't let it get very far from you. So you have to... When you start doing this and you start getting those nutrients from the Word of God, and then here's the other thing. Fellowship with God about it. Lord, do you remember what you said over there?
Oh, that's good.
Now, Lord, you said that. Y'all talk to God? Yeah. Lord, remember what you said over there? You said this was true. So, eyes of my understanding be enlightened. I want to know more about this, Lord. I want to understand more. You told me to seek the kingdom of God and everything would be added to me. Well, no, you didn't. You said to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yeah.
And so what I would do is, well, what does that really mean? Well, what is the kingdom? Well, what's righteousness right there? That word righteousness is actually, in Aramaic, it's a different word than the righteousness that Paul used. It actually means something different. Now, if you just go look in the Greek, they'll be the same word. But if you go look in the language Jesus was speaking in, it is an old Hebrew word called tzedakah. Mm-hmm. And it's about doing good deeds like giving.
Yeah.
See, and that thing's all about money and mammon there. So see, you have to dig deeper. You have to look deeper and study deeper and think deeper about what the word's saying. So if you just take it, I'm looking at Matthew 6. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And so it says, you can't serve God and mammon. And then it's going to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God when you get down in there. Okay. So with mammon there, I always preach this to you, that it's like a personal wealth. It's your personal wealth, or it's just natural wealth, or it could be Babylonian wealth. You're just in the system. But actually, when you go and dig down into it, it means wealth kept back. You can't just hold on to what you got. That's what it's saying. You can't just hold on to what you got. You have to seek the kingdom of God and be a giver. That's what that scripture is actually saying. Well, good news. That's who we are. That's already who we are. It doesn't hurt to know it the other way. But if you go digging around, you'll find some really fun things. And you can think about them. You can meditate on them. You can work with them. Amen? So fellowship with God. See yourself living in the fulfillment of the scriptures. Use your creative ability. Use your imagination. Using words. See yourself healed. Can you see yourself enjoying heaven? Have you ever thought about when you get there, what that's going to be like? And you're standing out there and Father Abraham greets you. And you want me to tell you a secret about heaven? People that serve God on earth, they see Jesus very quickly. People that don't. It takes a while. You're like, well, the grace, Pastor. No, wait a minute. It doesn't have anything to do with grace. It's the ability of your soul. Because when you're softened to God and you're serving God and you're full of the Word and you're participating in the Church of the Living God and you're doing all these things, you're walking in God. When you get there, you're already at a certain level spiritually. But people who get saved on their deathbed are quite shocked when they get there. and people who just go, yeah, I know Jesus, but I love Jesus, but I hate church. They're going to have a problem when they get there. It's going to take them a little while to get adjusted to it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, that was free. Praise God. Okay, so meditation is going to bring success. So I said there were two things that will change your set point, meditation and dreams and visions. Now, in doing these things, this is what you're going to accomplish. You'll conceive God's word. Now, let's just do this as we close. Imagine facing an impossibility. Something right now that just in your natural world absolutely cannot happen right now. I can tell you someone who faced that, the Virgin Mary. She gonna have a baby, I'm just gonna be frank, we're all adults, without a man. Now how's that gonna happen? Here's an angel standing there saying, you're gonna have the Son of God. And she's like, okay, but how are we gonna do this? And he says, the Holy Spirit will hover over you. Okay? Wow. He tells her how it's gonna happen. So every time God gives you an assignment, he will require that you take a step of faith. Her step of faith was what she said. Be it unto me according to thy word. So she just said, okay. And when she did, I just felt the anointing right there. When she did that, the Holy Ghost hovered over her and she conceived Jesus. And when you say that, be it done unto me, Lord, according to your word, my healing, my prosperity, my witness, my love walk, my relationships, whatever it is, be it done unto me according to thy word, you are conceiving the promise and you begin to carry that promise. And it's going to manifest. And they don't all take 9 months. But that's what happened with her. The Holy Spirit hovered. Does that sound familiar? Because the Holy Spirit hovered over the deep when God created the heavens and the earth. He hovered over it. That's the Hebrew word, rakaf. And he hovered over the deep. And in the Greek, it's episkiaso. He hovered over Mary. Now, listen, adults. Daddies hover over mama. Intimacy. The Holy Spirit hovered over things. He'll hover over things and bring them to pass. Which, by the way, it takes daddies and mamas. Praise the Lord. Say amen to that, church. It's the truth. Okay. Now, so every time God gives you an assignment, he'll require that you take a step of faith. You have to agree with it. If he offers you something, have a cookie. You gotta take that cookie. You gotta take what he's, and you're gonna have to use your words to say it. And you can't do this. Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. You're gonna have to do it. So you move and then Holy Spirit brings it to pass. So when you're looking at the Word of God and you see something in here that belongs to you, just whatever you're reading down here, you see, okay. Ooh, there's a lot of good stuff in here. Y'all talk amongst yourselves. getting over here, I'm reading Philippians 3, and then I get to Philippians 4, and then here's verse 19. But my God, God is not bound to human math. He's not. My supply is on the level of a prophet's ministry. My supply is. Why? Because you're a prophet? No, because I sow to prophets. Okay? The apostle Paul, he's an apostle. He was apostle, prophet. So you sow to him. And you are going to get that quality of life. How many times have you heard Brother Copeland, our fathers in the Lord, they will say, when you're a partner, every soul that has been saved, which is way up into the millions, is in your account.
Oh, Lord.
Right?
Yeah.
Every soul that's been saved through KCM yeah. is in your account. And there are millions, millions.
Yes.
Because, and they're not just Brother Copeland's ministry. Heidi Baker's ministry. Reinhard Bonnke's ministry. I mean, I could go on and on and on the list. Y'all know I could go on and on the list. And we're partners, and so those are all to our account.
Yeah.
Well, my God shall supply according to the grace that is on whoever you're giving to. The grace that is on them is now on you when you give into it, right? Now, what did we just do? We just meditated the word just right now. That's what we were doing right now. We were just meditating the word. I wasn't trying to change the subject. I just took one verse and it just lit me up. And there you go.
Yeah.
But that's how it works, doesn't it? You just go in there and you get a verse. Pastor, I just can't quite seem to get as excited as you do. Well, you could. Sometimes you have to act enthusiastic.
Yeah.
Amen. So, we give birth to the Word of God. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all we ask or think. So it's going to go even beyond that. According to the power, though, what? That's working in us. So how's it working in us? Meditation? Thinking about it? Reading it? Talking to it? Listening to preaching? Right now, it's working in you because you're amening. Those of you that are going, yes, amen. Yeah, that means the womb of your spirit's open and you're receiving. It's the quiet ones that don't often get what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, yeah, amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
See, you're receiving what God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
Most people agree that God is able. But how can it happen to me? Well, let's just be frank then. According to the power that's working in you. That's how. So you keep the word alive and active in you, you're going to have the power. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So you're going to have to know the will of God. You're going to have to put it in your heart, speak it out your mouth, meditate on it, talk about it, look at it, talk to God about it, fellowship with God about it, let him give you pictures about it. Hey, here's a great subject. How about the love of God? Because love casts out fear, and fear is usually the problem. Fear is usually the problem with people. And so you just go over to 1 John 4 and start reading that God is love and think about, hey, God doesn't have love. God is love. The scripture said perfect love casts out fear. What does that mean? It has to get out. It actually says there that in the day, that judgment, that's not talking about judgment day. That's talking about the day that you got to make a decision because the devil is bugging you. Here, let's read it. Because I'm closing right here. 1 John 4. Okay, listen to this. My Bible opened to that page. The angels are on my side. All right. Here, this is verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Okay, so because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is love, so are we love. As he is. The day when the test comes, the day when Satan tries you, this is what you need to know. You need to know that God is love, that our love is made perfect, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts it out. I don't have to be afraid of anything. I don't have to be afraid of anything. On my own, I'm no match for the spiritual enemies. But with God, I'm way above all of them. Way above. Way above. Way above. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. So fear has to get out. When fear knocks on the door, faith needs to answer. That's just the truth. That's what needs to happen. So faith begins with knowing the will of God. You need to know that God loves you. You need that He is love. The love of God is shed abroad in your heart. He is on your side. He does want to bless you, just like you want to bless your babies. Just like you want to. Just like you love your children. Just like you love your family. Just like you love this church family, only more. Way more. He loves us. Faith stops at the question mark. Mark Hankins would say, it stops at the butt. So you better get that big butt out of there. That's what Mark Hankins would say. And that's just the truth. Because that's fear. Well, I kind of think we should do it, but, well, you know, God did that for Miss Mata, but, well, you know, but our baby was born with this. So what? Jesus is the healer.
Yes, He is.
What'd they say? Master, did the parents sin and that's why this child is like this? He didn't say, oh, He didn't even focus on any of that. And He didn't say, yes, this happened so that on this day, oh, I could come in. We planned this whole thing. Me and God, the Father, made this kid nutty. No! What He's saying is, today is the day of His salvation. We're not going to focus on their sin. We're going to focus on that I'm here now.
Yeah. Praise God.
See, we dig too much.
You're right. Yeah.
Especially about other people. Mind your own business. Just focus on what God's doing with you. He asks you to pray for someone, pray for someone. Otherwise, just move on. You know, people will throw little things at me and try to get me to wonder about some things. I told the staff this morning, I said, I'm not even going to go try to build a case on these things or try to figure out why so-and-so wants to do this or that or get into speculative imagination. What a waste of time.
Yeah.
And have I done it? Oh, yeah. But I don't plan to do it. I don't plan to keep going there. I have time for that. We don't have time for gossip. We don't have time. We don't have time to try to figure each other out. Just love each other. Amen. Well, that was free too. Let me make these two statements and we'll close. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith stops at the question mark. When you know the will of God, go after it. Can I ask you a question? Is there any doubt in you that Jesus is the healer?
No.
Me either. He is the healer. God never fails and He doesn't mess up. So whose fault is it if I'm not healed? Mine. See, this is a problem with the Church of the Living God. Well, Sister Drydust was the Sunday school teacher for 30 years. And she and Brother Smellfungus actually served all their lives. And we just can't understand why she's so ill today. Well, I will tell you, they will say, well, God needs to put her through the trial to teach her a lesson. Not in here. Not in here. It's not in here. Why didn't somebody get healed? That's between them and Jesus. Why have I coped with things? That's between me and Jesus. Because I need to meditate. I need to get the word in me. I need to keep going until that's driven out. Because the truth is you sitting right here right now, you already are healed. You already are prosperous. You're already blessed. The enemy comes in with symptoms and tries to attack you.
Yep. Yep.
But you're already healed. It's more than a promise, church. It's written in the Word of God. That is a diabolical doctrine that they teach in the church, that God is putting trials on you, breaking your leg to teach you a lesson.
Yeah.
Now, if you and Satan get together and you break your leg, or the devil attacks you with something, don't blame it on God.
Right.
He didn't do it.
No, he didn't.
He sure will use it. If you'll focus on him, he'll get you out.
True.
But he didn't cause it.
No, he didn't.
God is a good God, and James says clearly. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just need to add this to the end of this tape, if y'all will allow me to do that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth any man. Jesus said, a house divided will fall. God can't make you sick and Jesus heal you.
That's right.
It can't happen. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when the lust has conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning.
Yep.
That's a promise. That's a promise. Get the truth. Find the truth. Don't go listening to a bunch of lies.
Amen.
Listen, if you believe that God is doing all these things, you'll never use your faith.
True.
You'll just keep blaming God that it was his fault. Well, God's, how many people still say this? God's in control. Church, he is only in control if you let him be in control. Go back and read Genesis 1. Genesis 1 says that he gave man dominion. Man lost dominion to the devil. Jesus got the dominion back. You have what we call the believer's authority. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. It says that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places and we have authority over darkness.
Yeah.
It's up to us to say no to the enemy. I'm Roxanne Alexander, and I approve of this message. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye-bye. Let's receive our offering. Praise the Lord. Y'all good? We're believing. We're believers. We are believers. We believe God.
We do.
God is good.
Always.
We can do it. The neat thing about this is once you start doing it, you'll pick up momentum. You'll pick up momentum. You get knocked down, get back up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, why didn't so-and-so get healed? Get off that.
Right.
Just look like this. Just agree that people are healed. Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you for every tither and giver. We thank you that the devourer is rebuked. The windows of heaven are open, and we receive back good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into our bosom in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, brothers. If you would like to give via text message, you can give to VCHL in the amount you want to give to 73256. Complete the link and complete your gift. And praise God for that.
Amen.
We win every time.
Every time.
Thank you, Jesus. We are winning, in case you haven't noticed.
Woo!
Glory to God on every front, every level. We're winning. God is good. Well, Pastor, you always say that. It's such
true.
How can you lose with a God like ours? You just have to decide to if you lose. It'll be because you decided to. I decided that I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. God is good. How about that? Right on time. Do we have announcements? Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we do have a few things coming up, finishing out this month, and we're already rolling into October. My, oh, my. So this Saturday, September 23rd, we have our men's meeting right here at Victory. It'll be at 9 a.m. Pastor Hector will be delivering the word. I believe he said he might be cooking something up. I'm telling you, if he's cooking, you want to be there. I always hope for leftovers when Jordan comes home. So he is a wonderful wonderful cook. They'll be meeting back there in the coffee shop. That's 9 a.m. this Saturday, September 23rd. Next week, September 29th at 7 p.m., we will be meeting back for Better Together. Better Together is our ministry for married couples. And so we invite you to come in, bring your spouse, bring someone in the community. If you know a married couple that you'd like to bring with you, feel free to bring them with you. Invite them to come. We'll be meeting here at about 7 o'clock. Myself and my husband, Jordan, lead up that. And we're so excited to be back together again after our summer break. And so it's going to be a wonderful time of fellowship together. And some exciting things that the Holy Ghost is sharing with us. And then we are already rolling into October. Our women's meeting, our women's ministry will be having a meeting out at the Calvary's house. We can get you the address. That's out on FM 1431. And we'll be doing a meeting of thankfulness. I can't get the title right now off the top of my head, but a meeting of thankfulness, that's October 7th. So there are details coming on that. We invite you to come out and enjoy the beautiful hill country out there. And so if you want to mark your date for that calendar, or mark your calendar for that date as well. So that's this Saturday, September 23rd, men's meeting, 9 a.m. Next Friday, September 29th at 7 p.m. we'll be Better Together. And then October 7th, I don't have a time for that yet, but that'll be our next ladies meeting. I believe that's all for now.
Enough. Praise God. Now, did I tell you all the blonde man joke about being in the shower? Okay. So, a blonde man is taking a shower. His wife comes in and says, "Honey, there's some new shampoo in there. Try that shampoo." And he says, "Oh, honey, I can't use that shampoo. It says it's for dry hair, and I've already wet mine." Did y'all get that?
Yeah, yeah.
Just checking to make sure y'all aren't blonde. Okay. Father, we thank you that we're the head, not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is taking us today. We're blessed in the city. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victors, but victors in Jesus' name. Amen.